service. Great to see you all here. As was mentioned earlier, there's no snow, there's no rain. There was some sun. Is it still out there? I think so. All right. Praise the Lord for everything he gives us. Amen. And let's turn to hymn number 419 as we worship him. We're going to sing The Family of God. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we praise you for this glorious morning of life in you, life in your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you that all of us today who have trusted in him are born again by the Spirit of God, filled with him, guided and directed by him, by your word. Father, what a joy and a privilege to be here together as believers, holding in our hands the scriptures, hearing them preached today, for they are a light unto our feet. They are a lamp to our path. And Father, we praise you that you have not left us in darkness. You have brought us into the light. You brought us into your family. We are the family of God, as we sang. And you will guide us through this service. We thank you for your Spirit's presence. May he move and minister to each heart. Draw us closer to you. Help us to worship you better, to magnify you more, to love one another more, and to be devoted to all those things that you cherish and value, that you want us to be following and pursuing. Father, bless this hour. We are thankful and grateful to you to be here, and we pray that you would minister to each heart. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, thank you so much, Dave. We appreciate that report. And don't forget to leave an offering, if you possibly can, for the Gideons. Okay. We'd like to read our scripture now from Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Luke 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and his custom was he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, I guess. I can't pronounce this Greek word. Elisha. The prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts, our Lord Jesus, all that he means to us today. And we look at this episode from his life, and we pray that we might learn something from it that will be helpful to us. We just praise you and thank you for all that you are doing through your word. And we just pray that you will use your word today to say something to each one of us. May your holy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we looked at the temptation of Jesus by Satan and how Jesus successfully passed all the tests and trials that Satan brought against him using God's word. That was his way of doing it. He quoted again and again from the book of Deuteronomy and overcame the temptations that Satan brought. This was his manner of defense. You know, we're wise to use that as well, aren't we? When temptations come, when something we don't quite understand faces us, where do we turn? Let's think back to the Word of God. Look into the Scriptures and find the answers. Like these testimonies we heard this morning, they all opened up the Word of God and they found what they needed, didn't they? And we can do that as well. We can find a solution to the problems that we face. You know, the other Gospels say little here about what Jesus did next. And we find John, the Gospel of John, speaks about an extensive ministry that he had after his temptation in Judea, especially, and around Jerusalem. If you want to look it up, it's John chapter 2, verse 12 through chapter 4, verse 1. So what he was doing there. And then we come back to our passage here, and we find Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit and was well received by the people at that time. Notice that's what it says here. He returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. See, they had heard what he did in Judea and in Jerusalem and other places, and now they were welcoming him to come and to speak. He went about speaking in their synagogues. Each Sabbath day, he would go and preach in a different synagogue, and it says, being glorified of all. They received him with open arms, and they thought, hey, this is great. This is one of our fellow Israelites that are preaching the word of God. And so they rejoiced in receiving him. He was well received at this time. Everyone seemed eager to hear what he had to say. And then he went back home again to Nazareth. It says where he was brought up. You know, this is where Mary and Joseph both lived before they went to Bethlehem, and she had Jesus. Yeah, he's back in Nazareth again as a young man, 30 years old apparently, and something like that. And he came to Nazareth, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That was the custom of Jesus. As a loyal Jewish boy, he went to the synagogue every Sabbath day and sought to obey the word of God. Of course, he did obey it because he's God himself in human form. But at any rate, this was another lesson that we can learn. We need to be in the house of God, right? We need to hear what his word says, and certainly you're doing that today, right? So that's good. It was his custom, something that he did regularly. And then I found this in one of the Bibles, talking about the order of service in the synagogue. I thought maybe you might be interested in that. It said the usual order of service began with an opening prayer and praise, then a reading from the law, then a reading from the prophets, and then a sermon, perhaps from a learned visitor. And on this occasion, of course, Jesus was called upon to be the guest speaker. And so that's the reason he was there, to read and to bring the message. So that's the usual service. You know, that's not too far from what we do, is it? Maybe we're carrying on the tradition there. But at any rate, seeking to worship the Lord. And he was given here the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Now, you know, of course, it says the book here in our King James Version. But, of course, it was a scroll. They didn't have books as we have today. You had to unroll the scroll and find the passage that you wanted to read from. And that's what he did. They gave him the scroll of Isaiah. And he turned over to what we find is Isaiah chapter 61 and verses 1 and 2. Let's look back at that for a moment. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Should stop any time, shouldn't it? Oh, there it goes. Okay. Anyway, did you notice there's one difference here from what we find in Isaiah and what Jesus read that day? He was given the scroll and he turned and he read that portion of scripture. Only he stopped in mid-sentence. After he read the first verse, he says, he stopped to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stopped right there. He didn't go ahead to read what the rest of it said, where it says, "And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn." So he stopped at that point because that's what referred to his day and this first advent that he had. He stopped reading in the middle of the sentence. And the rest of the prophecy is for the future, when he comes again, bringing the judgment of God upon the world. So here he's proclaiming, and notice what he says at the when he finishes this. He closed the book, he gave it to the minister, he sat down, and everyone was looking at him. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Hey, you think everybody perked up when he said that? What do you think? He said, you know, what Isaiah said 700 years ago now is taking place right now. Here we are. Boy, that's making it pertinent, isn't it? And notice what he said. The Messiah has come. Here I am. The anointed one of God has come. And he is bringing this message. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he came to proclaim these truths. Notice what he says. This is the five things here he came to do at this time. It says he came to preach the gospel to the poor. You know, as Jesus went about preaching the good news, he had come to liberate them, set them free. It appealed basically mostly to the poor and underprivileged people, those who had nothing to look forward to. They were the ones so often had received the message when it came to, from him, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, those who are downcast, those who are, don't know which way to turn, brokenhearted. They don't know what else to do. They've had their life shattered in one way or another, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Liberty. Those who are captives. You know, Israel spent a great deal of time in captivity, didn't they? In the Old Testament, especially as Isaiah was talking there about the Babylonian captivity and all of that that took place. Jesus said he came to proclaim liberty. But not just to those who are captive in the physical sense, but those who are captive by their sins. He's talking about the sin problem here, and he's going to take care of that. Proclaim liberty to the captives. Then recovery of sight to the blind. Now, how many times did Jesus do that? You know, as you read through the Gospels, he opened the eyes of the blind, didn't he? So often, people that couldn't see anything, here they were in darkness. And now he opens their eyes. And the wonderful thing is that he opens the eyes of our heart, doesn't he? Yeah? You remember the time when you were in darkness and Jesus came and opened your eyes? Think about that. When was it? It's been a long time for me. And I'm so glad that he's still with me today. Recover a sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, those who are downtrodden, those who have nowhere else to turn. Where do we go when we don't know where to find the answers? Like these men that Dave mentioned this morning, these people, they turned to Christ. And they found the answer. What a wonderful thing that is. Each one of us this morning, I trust, have found that answer as well in Christ. He has provided for us the salvation that we need. So Jesus here is clearly telling this group of people there in his hometown of Nazareth, you know, I am here as the answer to your problems. I am the Messiah. This day, these things are fulfilled in your ears. And they listened. They all bear him witness. They wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, wait a minute. Is not this Joseph's son? We know this man. He's the son of Joseph, right? And in a sense, he was. Joseph was his earthly father. But they didn't know anything about, apparently, his heavenly father and the special place that he had. They answered, is not this Joseph's son? They could not bring themselves to believe that he was who he claimed to be, the Messiah. They, you know, and Jesus goes on talking to them here. He says, oh, you surely will be thinking, why don't you do here what you did over in Capernaum? Why don't you do a miracle? You know, people always wanted to see something spectacular happen. And so they're asking him this, and he says, you know, he says a prophet is not accepted in his own country. You know, that's something when we think about it, something that is so familiar to us doesn't have the same effect, does it? You know, you get used to it. Familiarity breeds contempt, it says, I think it is. And that can happen. And these people knew who this man was. They had seen him grow up. He had been in the synagogue over and over again. He says it was his custom. They had seen him many times. And so what is he talking about? This day is fulfilled in your ears. So they didn't believe. They wanted special treatment. Yes, they wanted to see the miracles. They wanted to see the healings and all that. But Jesus said, no, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And they rejected him. And notice, then it comes out in the open here when Jesus is preaching his sermon. You notice the examples that he gave of who God had blessed in a very special way in the past? He used the examples of Gentiles being blessed by God. And that's what made these people so angry. He said, you know, in the days of Elijah, there were many widows. He could have helped many of them, but God chose one of them. This woman from, where was it? Sidon? I believe it was. Sarepta, a city of Sidon, a woman that was a widow. That's the one he chose to bless, to help. And then the other one, he says, and many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. The Syrian? You're kidding me. This was one of our enemies, one who fought against Israel. And you're saying God was blessing him? And they became so angry. They were filled with wrath, rose up and thrust him out of the city. They were going to push him down the hill or cast him down and kill him. This was their result after all that they had heard. You know, they rejected him. And they became furious. They attempted to kill him. But he was able to walk away. He, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Can you imagine? People get all upset and think that they're going to do something, and Jesus said, no, he just walked away. How did he do that? Well, that may be a secret, I don't know. But he went on his way, doing the work that God had given him to do. You know, I like the verses over in John. I use them quite often. John chapter 1. It says, he came unto his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's what it's all about. That's what we're going to celebrate in the Lord's Supper today. What Jesus did for us, that we might have eternal life. They attempted to kill him, but they didn't. But he was destined to go to the cross and to die there in our place as our substitute, as our Savior. And he did. He did it willingly. He did it, I won't say gladly, but anyway, he did it for us. And we have that wonderful privilege of knowing him. Do you know him today? Do you know him? Have you received him? That's what he says. Don't be like the people of Nazareth that turned away, went their own way, refused him, but rather accept him, receive him. And that's the song we're singing here today, 506. I'd rather have Jesus, 506.